Okay, so welcome to an impromptu Crux of It special on the day that Adam Hinshelwood has parted ways with York City Football Club and Stuart Maynard has been appointed just as quickly the new manager of the club. So we thought it was a good time to do a podcast. So tonight we've got Ben Robinson, regular, Dave Hughes and Steve Ovenden, aka Yorkie the Lion. So just wanted people's initial reactions to start with, really. So, Ben, I'm going to come to you first. What was your feeling of you know, what you where were you when you first heard it? What was your initial kind of opinion on it?
I was at home. You're making this sound like a major event here, Dan.
Bloody
Like,
is.
where were you when you
Otherwise, we
first
won't be doing
heard
a
it?
podcast.
Yeah, just sat at home. Tweet came through, but I'd kind of been expecting it the past sort of like for the next couple of weeks. I thought it might come at some point. So yeah, it didn't surprise me when I saw it. I wasn't there before where I've literally gone, oh my God, have we really just sacked them? You know, I can still remember when Steve Watson got sacked and I wasn't expecting him to go that night, and you know, it turned into a great night. But I think it was just a bit of disappointment that he's gone, a bit of sadness after probably one of the best seasons watching in my life. And I just think it's a bit of a cowardly decision to have made as well. So I think from there, I just think that it is disappointment, but it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all, isn't it? So, you know, it's one of them. So.
No, it does sound like a major event. Dave, what do you think? What was your initial response to it?
Pretty much the same as Ben, really. I was in town, and obviously stuff started coming through the phone. I was pretty shocked. The talk certainly hadn't been of Adam going as quickly as he had. Obviously, everything happened in the summer. There was that time in the summer where, you know, things were a little bit up in the air, and we, you know, there was people suggesting that he may or may not go, and he'd been tapped up by Notts County, etc. And then we come to this point in the season. We're four games in, four games unbeaten. And granted, we haven't won four games, but we haven't lost them. And we're only 2 points off last season total at this point, which is, believe, that was Ben who said that. So, I mean, these are things that make you quite surprised to see him go. And yeah, okay, after the Woking game, I'm sure we'll come on to this, he was quite emotional, you know, in interactions with the fans. But I don't think it was necessarily going to come right now, especially if it's based on results.
Yeah. Steve, were you surprised? I mean, obviously I was with you at Woking. I don't think on the train back we were sort of contemplating that it was going to be Adam's last game in charge, but what do you think?
Yeah, likewise, phone pinging like mad this morning. And I was very surprised, a bit shocked, really. Like has been said, you know, we haven't lost the first four games, against a backdrop of the Rugby World Cup, and three of those four have been away. I just thought it might have been given a little bit longer. I'll tell you what I was quite disappointed with. Some of the fans on Monday, really aggressive, really having a go at full time. I thought that was a bit despicable, really. I mean, we go a long way. We pay a lot of money to do it, so everyone's got an opinion. But it was a fairly nasty to have a go at the team. Dare say that's not made the decision. But yeah, just shocked and stunned, really. I think Adam's a good man, but I also think the owners are good people. So I'm sure we'll come on to a more in-depth discussion about that as we go on. Shocked and stunned, but just whatever's happened, we now need to unite behind Stuart Maynard and get on with it, because we don't know what the true facts are, and maybe we won't find out. We've just got to get on with it.
Yeah, well, we'll come on to Maynard later on. Just for my sort of opinion, I wasn't shocked at the decision. I was probably more shocked at or surprised at the timing of it, more than anything. But I think it would have been, I'd been less surprised if it had happened in the summer, but given that, we'd started the season, like Dave said, unbeaten after four, albeit not looking like having the same swagger as last season. But and with you, Steve, I think the owners have taken us such on such a journey so far, and a lot of it has been progress. I think we've got to get behind them and the new manager. But let's look back on Adam's time, because I think it's important that we do recognise the job that he's done. Joined the club in February 2024, which feels like a lifetime ago. I don't know about everyone else thinking that, but three poor results at the start, followed by the 6-1 defeat against Altrincham, possibly one of the worst results in York City's history. I mean, Ben, if we take you back to that night and know that you were there, how did you feel that night? What can you remember what your feelings were of Adam in those very early days?
To be honest, I thought he was useless, a bit incompetent, but I didn't want him sacked. But the only reason I didn't want him sacked is because I thought, well, what's the point? What are we going to do now if we sack another manager and that? But I did think it was we'd gone from someone who wasn't performing well, could probably still have gone down under Ardley. And it was the first time I kind of left the game significantly early, left to go to the pub at half time thinking, right, we're 3-0 down. It's not getting any better this. I'll totally avoid it. I'll just switch off from it. Went to the local pub, only to find them streaming it in there. So I still had to suffer the other 3 goals at Altrincham and put past us. But yeah, I remember sort of thinking, who is this guy? Ugla's, got a load of poor players in over the summer. Ardley's kind of, being Ardley, as we all know, average, probably would have taken us down either way. Obviously, we know now it's the right decision from Matt, but at the time, we all thought, why is he bringing in this chancellor almost in terms of someone that is from the leagues below? But yeah, I was I'm very happy to be proven wrong on that front.
Dave, I mean, it felt like at that time after Altrincham that we could have parted ways with him back then, and it many York City fans wouldn't have been kind of disappointed at that stage.
Yeah, I agree in some ways. I don't think I was calling for his head. I was very angry, like most people who were there at Altrincham as well. I think you had to be there in many respects to understand the absolute, well, apathy and also real anger from the fans. But like Ben, I mean, you get to that point, you're like, well, we hit such a curveball going for Hinch in the first place that it was a case really of who else do we get in? It would have been one manager after another. And at the beginning when he came in, he'd done well with Worthing. I think a lot of people thought it was a gamble. And like Ben's already alluded to, I'm really pleased that it paid off. I'm really pleased we had last season. I'm really pleased that last season was the season that got my son properly invested in York and absolutely hooked on the club. And that wouldn't have happened. And I know it sounds really, really shallow to say, but it wouldn't have happened had we not had the results we had and had we not had the characters on the field as well, those players for the kids to look up to. So for me, I didn't want him to go. But at the end of the day, back then it was a case really of, well, we've got to get this working because there was obviously a project. We were being told to trust the project, trust the evolution. So I guess it was just a case of, well, let's see what happens. And luckily, they turned it around very quickly. I think had we obviously gone down, it would have been a different matter. But I remember at Solihull thinking, when I left the ground, we're heading back up the M1. Actually, I think things will be a bit better next season.
Yeah, and at that point it was four games under Adam Hinshelwood, ironically, which is what he's had this season, only one win and only one draw and three losses. Steve, I think it's you. You sort of your head pops up. I don't know if it was a boiled egg or whether it is you still there. What do you think? And what were you thinking at that moment in time? And then obviously it went into such a fantastic run towards the end of the season.
I'm going to be a bit long with this, but I do apologise. And I'll say it like this. 50-odd years of supporting a football club, the one thing I do know is that the fans are there for life, effectively. And Dave, I hope your son is like the rest of us. He's going to follow this club through life. So they're there for a long time. Directors and owners, they're also there for a long time, unless you're Glenn Henderson. But broadly speaking, they're there for a period of time. And then it comes to managers and players. Players, obviously, the length of the contract, similar with managers, and they can sometimes be there longer than the players. So, I'm really, really upset about Adam's departure, and I'll come on to that after this. But all I will say is the owners were looking at Adam for some time and brought Adam to the club and have brought about probably the joint best times of 50 years of supporting that football club. I'd say it goes as far as 83, 84 for me. Last year was wonderful, 96 points, brilliant football, lots of goals. But more importantly, at my age, I saw more about the humanity of the players we brought in. So I've loved that team last year. And for that reason, I'm genuinely sort of heartbroken. And also, early on when people, and I think Dave Ward almost called for him to go on Radio York after Alstringham, we were all really upset. But we stuck with it, and Adam played with his beliefs, and what followed that stayed up. We all really got together with it, and then we sort of move on into last season, which was magical. And there'll be loads of people that will follow this club now based on what happened last year. Adam also spoke at the Trust Social, his story of life, of being injured, where he'd come from. He's just a wonderful man. And don't forget, he's brought his wife and children up to this area. They follow footballers, players. The families follow them. So it'll be heartbreaking in their household tonight. And it's just a bit sad. I was just really, really taken with him. So for all those reasons, I'm desperately sad. And obviously, I had a few hugs with him, a few chats with him because of what I do on a Saturday. I just think all of them, the management team, were great. So as I say, the word again is heartbreaking. But when I go back to the owner had a process for bringing him in, and the owner doubtless had plans in place, had Adam gone at the end of last season or went over summer. You give it to Matt. He did the Hospital Ball podcast. He came across as very intelligent. And so succession planning will have been at the heart of everything they've done. That's probably why, for me, once the decision was made, whenever it was made to part company with Adam, there was a quick replacement found. And that won't just be picking somebody's name out of a hat and tossing a coin. I'm sure that under whatever circumstances Adam had left, let's not forget Adam might have left and got a job elsewhere, and Matt had to be prepared for that. So I think that the new guy has come in and has been on our radar. I'm glad that Gary's staying to oversee it. We'll talk about Stuart Maynard in due course. So I'm really, really sad that Adam's gone, because I do think he's a wonderful man, wonderful man.
Yeah.
But I've also got 100% faith in our owners for having a process.
Yeah.
Sorry, I told you it'd go on,
That's all
but
right.
that's where I'm at.
I'll have to check out that podcast you mentioned as
Where I'm
well.
at now.
Ben, just sort of going back to we talked there about how it wasn't working for Adam early on. I think one of the things that was quite staggering about what Adam did at that time was, most of the time when teams are down the bottom, they're looking to scrap, they're looking to battle. And I think all of us were probably at Kidderminster that game where it was nil-nil and it was awful, the one before Altrincham. But then after Altrincham, he just decided to play his brand of football. And I think I mentioned this at Paddy McLaughlin's testimonial event the other week, but I can't think of any other team that have ever gone from being scrapping down the bottom to trying to play their way out of trouble. Do you know what I mean? Plenty of teams do it the other way around, where they play football, it's not working, so they go to two banks of four and they try to go more direct. We did the opposite of that, and some of those wins, Chesterfield, Bromley away, Aldershot at home, we played with really good football. And I think Adam deserves a lot of credit for being brave and kind of sticking to his principles, really, and bringing that in.
Oh, 100%. I think he probably saw it almost like we all did. If after Altrincham, it's very unlikely we're going to stay up here. When you looked at the picture ahead, we had Chesterfield at home, we had Bromley away. Them two got promoted in the end. We had a big game against Aldershot, who were doing okay at the time, followed by Halifax and Solihull. It was a real tough run-in. So I think he probably almost saw it a bit as an early pre-season in such of, well, you know what, if we're going to go down, I'm going to do it my way, and then I know which one of yous I want to keep for next year and which ones I don't play in it my style. And fair play to him. It brave decision, brave man. And, you know, I echo the thoughts of Steve. It almost that little run he had to keep us up epitomises what Adam Hinshelwood is as a man. And we've seen that throughout the whole of this past sort of 18 months or so. We've had him. We've been very lucky that to have him. And, like, you know, the fact that Uggla spotted that in him, you know, it's fair credit to Uggla as well for picking that out with him. So, yeah, it's been absolutely brilliant and a pleasure to watch. And, you know, I'll always remember Dippo's goal against Bromley, where he decided just to whack it from 25 yards out. You know, great memories on that terrace there. And that Chesterfield game that, even though we were 1-0 down, still managed to galvanise them to beat the league champions that were probably a little bit hungover still, but still, we had to go and do it. So, I mean, fair credit to him. And obviously, with the help and leadership of Lennell John Lewis as well, who he clearly entrusted to lead the side and become one of the leaders that we all know he is as well.
Yeah, Dave, I'll come back to you. I've seen a couple of people today be a little bit critical of Adam, and we'll come on to his kind of shortcomings in a bit. But I think the legacy of what Adam's done, you know, he did knit the support group back together. It's been very fractured for a long period of time. Like Steve said there, there's a lot of young kids that have started going, including your own lad, who will probably be lifelong supporters now. And that's a massive legacy for Adam to have left. And also, you know, 96 points, 95 goals. You know, we might not see a season as good as that again anytime soon. I'm not saying that Stuart Maynard can't eclipse what Adam's done and maybe take us to promotion, but those stats, you know, and that season, it was a pleasure. I mean, I was absolutely skint last season. I went to far more away games than I'd actually budgeted for, but you just felt you had to be there all the time, didn't you? And it was a real pleasure to watch that side. I know we fell short, but you know, it was entertaining. You know, the 7-2 against Aldershot, the other teams that we spanked sort of home and away. It was, you know, best we've seen since Gary Mills, really, for me.
Absolutely. So many games last season do stick out. The Rochdale drubbing away, that was absolutely incredible. It was just, you know, absolute scenes on those terraces from York fans on that bitterly cold night over in Rochdale. There's so many. Solihull, you know, my goodness me, that Solihull away game, incredible, absolutely incredible. The togetherness, the energy from the fan base. You go back a few years and it's just, as you say, it kind of really. It galvanized everyone. It gave everyone a new energy. And we see lots of new faces in around the club, which is absolutely fantastic. And that's how it should be. And, you know, the next generation of fans and all that kind of thing. I have seen people criticizing him. And maybe, you know, the whole kind of plan B or lack of plan B. And there are various other things that have been bandied about as well. That suggests that some people, you know, were a little bit miffed about some of the ways that he managed, maybe. But his overall reading of the game, his overall man management, clearly during a lot of last season was excellent. You know, there is no doubt about it because if the players didn't like him, they wouldn't have played like they did. So for, I have no idea. I'm just a fan. I'm just a fan. But watching that team on the pitch, they were playing for the badge, they were playing for the city, and they were playing for him. And so as a result of that, we had some great games. And obviously there was a few slip-ups, you know. I think majority of us here were at Boston away and it wasn't very, very good. But in general, there were many, many more high points footballing wise last season than there were low.
Yeah, and I'll come back to your point, Steve, you made earlier. I was disgusted really by some of the, it was a minority of people, but working on Monday, you know, running down the front to basically berate Adam. I mean, he and I'm not saying the decision today wasn't the right one. I'm not saying that. I think it probably did come to a point where they're not on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, then you do need to go your separate ways. It doesn't mean that York City can't be successful. It doesn't mean that Adam Hinshelwood can't go on to be successful, but he didn't deserve that for me, Steve. I don't, you know, some people shouting and swearing, you know, his lad Jack was there in the crowd, and it just left a bit of a bitter taste for me.
Yeah, he absolutely didn't deserve it. And I was pleased to see on a clip the skipper, the wonderful warrior that is Callum Howe, saying, stick together, people, stick together. And that's exactly what we've got to do. Whether you think Matt Ugler is wrong, whether you think he was right, or whatever, we've got a new man in now, and we've just got to get on with it and stick together and hope that the players are as united. I mean, for me, the games you've already talked about, and Halifax away, 2,200 and however many people. It's so long since we've seen anything like those numbers travelling. And I go back to the thing that unites, that links Adam and Matt, I think. They both seem bothered about the people that we brought in. How refreshing has it been to see players come into the socials, players standing out and doing autographs on the way into the game, players told to spend time after the match with autographs for kids. A real bond about what a community football club should be. And Adam bought into that because of where he'd come from, Worthing. He knew that he had to get the fans on side. And he did that. And it's all to his credit, it's also part of Matt's philosophy. So, you know, we had some fabulous games. And you know what? When people go, we didn't have a plan B, I can see where that comes from. And yeah, at times we wished we maybe sometimes had a bit of more aggression or bigger players. But Jesus Christ, lads, if we didn't have a plan B, we still didn't do bad getting 96 out of 138 points last season. And
yeah, so in some respects, pretty good plan A.
It's a pretty good plan A that worked more often than it didn't. And it just made us a joy to watch. I suppose it made it equally frustrating when we as fans thought that, or some of the fans thought that they knew better and why didn't we play him there or whatever. But you know what? People don't get everything right every time. You know, teachers don't always teach the right syllabus, do they, to the kids and da-da-da-da. Or, you know, people don't put the right shoes on people. I don't know. We don't always get it right, guys, do we? Do you know what I mean? So if for me, he dropped, well, what's he dropped? 42 points all season long. That's amazing. So he was great for me as a man and a manager.
Yeah,
but as you say, if you're not on the same page with the owners, then there's only one of that two going to go because, you know, again, we come on to this later, but when the owner and you've chucked in on any view millions of pounds, clearly yours is the view that matters and you're always going to be the one that wins out. And that don't mean that either are wrong. You know, all these people coming out with this crap about playing championship manager. We've met him, Dan. We're lucky to have met him, and you've been lucky enough to interview him. And we know that our owner is a bright young man who thinks things through. He thought through succession. He's talked at length in various places about his views of the world and football. He's not some idiot who's tossing a coin and throwing baby out with bathwater, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that brings me on nicely to the discussion points, really. And I'll start with you, Ben. That I think, you know, Matt maybe does have a right to have felt a bit annoyed with Adam. And I think it comes back to when things were going well last season. I remember vividly, I think it was just after the Wickham game in the FA Cup. And there was lots of talk about people being interested in Adam. And Matt said, we want him to sign a new long-term contract. You know, with all due respect, you know, Wickham might be leagues above, but we're a bigger club than them. And all this talk was about a new contract. And you sort of thought it was a matter of time for that to take place. See, I think I'm right in saying that Adam got an agent, for whatever reason, he didn't sign that long-term contract. And maybe from Matt's point of view, you know, he's the person who went and got him from the National League South, gave him the opportunity at a big club like York City. And then he's maybe feeling that he hasn't had that loyalty back. Do you think that that's possibly where these sort of problems maybe started?
Yeah, perhaps. I don't think there's any non-guilty parties here. Like, no one seems to be innocent in it between Ugler and Hinchelwood from what you sort of hear. He's well in his right to feel aggrieved if, he's not signed this contract that he believes to be a good contract, especially when, he has supported him. He didn't sack him after launching him. And then he got in the players he wanted of Pierce, Felix, Mayle, even probably the likes of ANG and Sinclair. He went out and he backed him. However, there still seems to be a bit of a pattern now you sort of see with Uggla and people he seems to get very close to and then falls out very quickly with. You look at David Stockdale, they were making roast potatoes one day at each other's houses. Next thing you know, they've fallen out. Neil Ardley at the fans forum, they're high-fiving each other, saying they're best mates. They've got a really good partnership. And then a couple of months later, Ardley's gone. You hear about Tony McMahon, how he's the best thing since sliced bread, and then very quietly he disappears out of the football club. And now you've got a situation where, Uggla posted only like last year of him and Hinchwood out drinking a load of pints together. And then once again, this relationship seems fractured. And, he's only been at the club sort of 3 years now, and it does concern me, that element of it. But also it concerns me that if these things and talks had been going on with apparently Notts County back at the time, and he wasn't sure if he was going to sack him, do it then. Don't wait till 4 games into the season and base it on footballing results. Because quite frankly, it's an absolute disgrace if you're going to base it on purely footballing terms, in the fact that, as Steve alluded to, 96 points. Unbelievable. As David alluded to, some of the best football we've ever seen. And then 4 games in, last season, we were 2 points behind to where we are 4 games in. The next game, we lost 2-0 to Boston. Didn't sack him then. We lost to, I think it was Fylde and Wealdstone, drew away at Kidderminster, and then lost 6-1 at Altrincham. 4 games in, he didn't sack him then. So if it's based purely on footballing terms, I'm concerned as to why he's sacking him now when we've had an overhaul in midfield, brand new midfield, and he's not even giving him a chance to adapt it. 10 games in, if we're still in position, I'd be fully backing him, sort of like understanding the decision. But if it's on purely football, I'm very just lost at the minute as to what this big project's meant to be and what it's meant to look like, because I thought Hinchelwood was going to be the one that eventually takes us up at least to the Football League.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with Matt, we haven't heard from him, so it's really difficult to speculate on what he thinks about this kind of. We've heard obviously little snippets here and there about the new manager, but not so much about the sort of parting of ways. But Dave, Ben touched upon the Notts County link. I mean, that again came from quite a well thought of journalist, I think. Was it Peter Rourke, I think, at the time, who generally gets things right, and he'd sort of said that he was in talks with Notts County. And again, I'm going back, and I know what Ben's saying about falling out with people, but if you take this purely in isolation, then I do feel like if that was me as an owner who's brought him in, and you found out that he was then flirting with other clubs, as it were, even in real life, if you've got a partner that's suddenly, cheated on you with someone else, you're not going to have that trust there anymore, are you? You can see possibly, if these things were factual, how a relationship could break down.
Yeah, I think you can. I will echo what Ben said, though. I think if you're going to say it's based on footballing results now after 4 games, I think that is cynical to say the least. And I would have said that had it been done in the summer, maybe that would have had an impact on our record-breaking season ticket sales number. I don't know. But it's one of those things when that happens and there is that breakdown of communication. It becomes almost too much to move on. And at that point, then you've got to go, yep, right, we're done. I don't know what's happened. I genuinely don't know because I'm not, it's amazing how many staff York City seem to have crawling out of the woodwork, in terms of fans who work for the club and seem to have inside knowledge and leaking like a sieve. If that, with tidbits and things that are coming out, but clearly it's all rumour and very convoluted. But if something happened in the summer and if he was tapped up by another club, if he did look at another club, whether that was Notts County, whether it was whoever, then at that point, then okay, if I was Matt, I would feel aggrieved. But I'd probably have gone, right, let's, end of the season, we're done. You've done an amazing job. You've got us 96 points. We played brilliant football. The fans are absolutely, had a brilliant season. Everyone's gutted after the Oldham game. Completely understand that. Maybe now that's it. It's time. Maybe we finish now. Again, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Nobody else knows, apart from the people who are involved at the club, in that very, very small group of people. And if they choose to talk about it, fine. And if they choose not to talk about it, absolutely fine as well. That's their prerogative. But as a fan looking on, I probably would have said, if he was going, get rid in the summer. If he was going, get rid in the summer. And if Stuart Maynard was in the picture in the summer, bring him in and let him bring in his own players, or bring him in. And if these players that are in now were the kind of players he would be bringing in, absolutely brilliant. But bring him in, let him have some eyes on recruitment as well, as you know, as has happened previously with Adam. And then at that point, then you kind of go, right, we've got a fresh start, we've got a fresh slate, new man in, new squad members in, brilliant beginning of the season. If it's based on football after four games, I'm not convinced, because I will say it again until I'm blue in the face. We are four games unbeaten. We are unbeaten this season. And yes, it is only four games in, but we are unbeaten. And that isn't a reason to sack a manager after four games.
To play devil's advocate to you there, but Dave, you know, if he sacks him in the summer when he hears that he's talking to Notts County, he's then going to pay him up, which I know obviously he's done now because he's sacked him four games in. But at that moment in time, he might be thinking, well, if Notts County are definitely coming in for him, they'll have to pay compensation. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a financial kind of element you've got to think about there from an owner's point of view.
There seemed to be a line drawn, though, didn't there? There seemed to be a line drawn in the sand that it was all fine. He came out of the woodwork again. He appeared on, you know, social media posts again. Adam, this is when signing players or having pre-match interviews pre-season, and it all seemed like it was absolutely fine. It was all hunky-dory. So at that point, then it seemed to the fan base, of which we all are, that everything was fine. Everything was okay. And Adam was carrying on, and everything was good. I spoke to Adam, luckily enough, spoke to him last week at the Southend away game. Before the game, I was happening to be in the same hotel as him, staying in the same hotel as the team, and he was absolutely lovely. He was so personable as a man. He got some paper for my son to get signatures, and then he asked all the team to sign. He even offered to get certain players back up so they could sign them. He couldn't have done more for my son, who at 11 is incredibly impressionable. And I think that if it was me, I probably would have, you know, looked to that point and gone, right, so we're getting to the end of that whole period where there's uncertainty, the Notts County things happen, there's people, you know, shouting off left, right, and centre about rumours and all this kind of thing. When it then the dust settles, and that's then a case of, right, he's definitely not getting signed, you either say, right, we're going to stick with it and that's it moving forwards, or then at that point you say, you know, let's leave it at that. We wanted to get promoted, maybe we didn't get promoted. That's it. I think that it's very, very early to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, I always like to really try to be balanced on this podcast. Like, that's something I think we kind of pride ourselves on, really. So, on the flip side, you know, we talked there about how, you know, from Matt's point of view, how it might look, but from Adam's, Steve, you know, I kind of look at the kind of recruitment model and how it's changed, you know, since he's been with us in this sort of short time, relatively speaking. You know, last summer, the recruitment was definitely heavily influenced by him. You know, Ollie Pearce, Joe Felix, Harrison Mayle. All players that have played for him before, whereas now, and you know, and I'm not kind of blowing off any kind of trade secrets or anything. Matt quite clearly said on the podcast that he's more heavily involved in recruitment now, and you know, it's kind of like a team that kind of goes out and scouts these players and looks at them, and you can probably tell from that Adam has had less influence. So from his point of view, as a football man, as someone who's been involved in football a long time, it might be difficult for him to see someone else who hasn't, in kind of Matt's background, sort of telling them these are the players that we're going to sign. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not getting into this really because we genuinely don't know. We'd just be speculating. The thing that's frustrated me for weeks and more as I get older is all this speculation, all this bollocks from people who claim to be inside or whatever. And I don't really want to fuel speculation. We've heard what Matt has said publicly about how recruitment goes. I'm, you know, old enough to see that Alex Ferguson and Brian Clough wanted to be involved in absolutely everything. And ultimately, as a manager, you are the man who is judged on results. And so you stand or fall on those results. And so some people may want 100% say in what players are signed.
So just to come back, Matt, Steve, sorry, I'm not trying to speculate. I'm more kind of seeing it as a positive going forward that Stuart Maynard, who will come on to next, knows exactly what the structure is. This is how we do recruitment. Whereas with Adam, it's possibly changed, you know, and I'm not speculating there. That's kind of
no.
It has, you know, so it's kind of like I can see it. What I'm trying to say is from Adam's point of view, is that might be difficult for him to work in that structure because he's used to it in a different way. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it might be, but he's gone now. So for me, well, no, it might be, it might have been, but me talking about what might have been in Adam's mind doesn't change the fact that he's gone. So I'm sorry if I sound like I'm not answering the question, but I just don't see the point in it because Adam might have said one thing, Matt might have said another, and Adam might have been frustrated about who was being signed. He might not have been, but whatever the position is, he ain't here now, and the new guy presumably has discussed that with the owner in these discussions before he takes over, how it's going to be run. And so if the model that Matt talked about in your podcast previously about it being a team thing because coaches and managers don't have time to go to lots of games, presumably those are the type of issues, recruitment policy, travel, that you would want to put in place before you sign a contract, if that makes sense. Sorry, I'm not really answering
no,
you.
That's yeah. Fine. And you're right, Adam's gone. So let's talk about, and let's stay with you, Steve. Let's talk about the new man, Stuart Maynard. I saw a lot of resentment today, and I don't know whether that's because of the amount of love for Adam. I'm presuming it's that, because I kind of look at his record. You know, did a good job with Wealdstone on a very, very low budget. You know, they were established in National League. Obviously had a great apprenticeship working under Dean Brennan, who we know has got a great track record. Did pretty decent from my money with Notts County. I think, you know, when I saw he was sacked in the summer, I thought that's, you know, pretty harsh, really, considering they've got to the playoffs, you know, a bit like what people could say about Adam. So my early thoughts are, you know, yes, he probably wasn't the big name that people thought might have been coming through the door to replace him, but I think people dismissing him already before he's even taken charge of one game is incredibly naive. And we didn't know who Adam was when he came in. You know, we do know a little bit more about Stuart Maynard, and his record's been reasonably good.
I'd agree. And I go back to, we're relatively lucky, aren't we? You've interviewed Matt in three successive years. You know he's quite attention to detail. I rather suspect that there will have been a number of people in the frame for this whenever that decision was made. I look at Stuart Maynard and go, yeah, you know what? Notts County had been promoted into League Two and had got top end. And then, you know, he has a year of it when Williams went. And he stayed into the playoffs. And there'll be an awful lot of expectation at Notts County. They're losing the playoff, and he's out of a job. So, and no doubting, while he's serving his apprenticeship, Wealdstone are not a club of the size and stature of York. So to have steered them to 16th and 13th on a fraction of the budget that he'll be presented with, well, potentially at York. I mean, there's an argument saying we've brought players in over the summer, but I think he's done a good job. And you know, I go back to this point about the owners and people think, oh yeah, it's just about money and they should But on any view, they've pumped a lot of money in already. It's not a bottomless pit, despite the fact that they'll have to pay people off. So I think you're taking a chance with a relatively young manager about the age of Adam, I think. but who has achieved. And you know what? Whatever you say about Matt Ugler, whatever you say about Adam, I go back to this point that I'm making. It really don't make a scrap of difference. We're not the ones who make these decisions. We're the ones who support the club. And I support the club and I support the manager. And I will be not going to Yeovil, but for the Tamworth game, I will be up there and I will be backing him 100%. And I hope everybody is. And I hope there's no Hinch hangover. We just have to move on and be positive. We have to be positive because of what Ben and Dave say. We've played four games. We've got 6 points. We've got 126 points to play for. We, on paper, have one of the biggest and best squads in this league. And if this guy gets it right, we won't be far away. So let's get on. Let's support him. And let's see where it goes. It's a big ride that we're on with the owners. I can't really say any more than like, we just got to be positive and just get on with it and forget what's gone, because you can't bloody change it. Can't change that we lost to Oldham. Can't change that Adam's gone. Get on and support them is where I'm at. And that might be naive, but that's me. Sorry for rambling.
Ben, how do you feel about it? Excited? Concerned? What was your initial thoughts? What's your thoughts sort of now a few hours on from his appointment?
I think I'm underwhelmed, but I think that's because of the speed of which we've had to almost grieve Hinchelwood, so to speak. You know, the fact that it's happened very quickly has made me think the fact that I don't really know how I feel about it yet. Whilst he has done well with Notts County, it seems a lot of their fans think he's almost a bit like what Scunthorpe thought with Russ Wilcox. You know, they'd won promotion or they'd Scunthorpe, but they're all a bit bored by Wilcox. So when he came to us, we all saw why. But then again, I think Notts County are having a bit of a hangover from Luke Williams themselves. You know, they got him after Luke Williams. He's absolutely bound to be in a tricky situation, but he's now coming into a similar situation with us where we're on the back of a very successful season with Adam Hinchelwood. He's got to hit the ground running to have the fan support. Everyone's going to support him from the off, don't get me wrong, but if he doesn't get that support, if he doesn't get those early wins, sorry, or that early kind of good football that we're all expecting, if we don't get that from the off, then he's going to find fans on his back. You know, I'm not going to be one of them, I don't think, from the off, but there will be people that will be going, well, if we kept Hinchelwood, we wouldn't be in this mess, or, well, he's not as good as Hinchelwood. It's one of them. It's not his team, you know, but as Steve says, we've got 42 more games to play, plus cup games, despite not having the North Riding Senior Cup this year, which is an absolute disgrace still. But he has got to hit the ground running to have the fans' support, because fans are fickle. And, you know, we flip-flop all the time on opinions. You saw what happened with Hinchelwood. You know, I do wish Stuart all the best. I think he's, you know, thinking about it, a good appointment. Perhaps if it was made in the summer, I'd be more excited for him. But I think now it's a case of, well, he's an appointment because we want to win the league. And if that's the case, he really, really needs to start hitting that ground running quickly.
Yeah. And Dave, I remember, you know, when I did speak to Matt in the summer, we talked a little bit about the sort of DNA of the club and how, you know, we played this attacking brand of football. And I think Matt sort of hinted that really he sees that kind of long term. That's what York City's DNA is. So, you know, I don't know much about Maynard's kind of style of football. Obviously, when he was in charge of Wealdstone, it was probably difficult for him to play an attacking brand of football. But what do you think the DNA is important for this appointment?
I think so. I think if he's bought into this project that Matt's got, then he obviously, there is an expectation that he delivers. It's similar feelings from me in terms of my excitement or my surprise about the appointment. And like Ben, I think I would have been a little bit more on board with it in the summer. I will obviously support him. He's the manager of the team that I love. That's how it is. We you know, we finish See you later. Bye, Adam. Thanks for it. All the best. And then we look on to the next game. And I think that it's absolutely fair to say that, just like Ben, if he doesn't kick on in the first few games, there will be clamouring from the fans. And that's fair. The fans are the blood of the football club. And the fans will be there. The families will be there for years and years and years, decades, hopefully. And I think that if the expectation is that we're going to win the league, he's got a job on. Adam had a job on. And it doesn't matter how good the squad is. There are some really good teams in this league. We've seen that in the first few weeks of the season. And I think that if we are expecting to go up and we're expecting to be playing league football next season, he's got a job on. I wish him all the best. I hope he does manage to play that attacking brand of football that the club ethos seems to be bound to now, which is great. It's very entertaining. It's great to watch. And I do. I wish him all the best. I hope he succeeds. I really hope he succeeds. And I hope that it's another appointment that is a real success. I was pretty surprised when he came in. I think it's more because of the timing that it was. It was 4 hours. Not even, was it even 4 hours between the tweet going out about the departure of Adam and then the tweet welcoming Stuart in, and that in itself is a really, really short amount of time. So I think that kind of has got everyone on the back foot. Maybe over the next few days, it'll all start to, the dust will settle, and we'll be able to kind of take it for what it is. But let's bring on. We've got a time now before the next game. Let's bring it on. Let's see what happens when people trek down to Yeovil week on
Well,
Saturday.
I think there was a record definitely broken today for the shortest interim manager career of Gary Elphick, who was appointed interim manager, and like you say, a couple of hours later, was then appointed first team coach. Ben, what did were you surprised that Gary is staying? I mean, Cam Morrison's obviously left along with Adam. I was slightly surprised at that, but I was talking to Steve earlier. He was saying it was quite a good that there's someone there who can kind of knit the previous regime to this regime. There's sort of pros and cons, I suppose.
I think it's one that we don't know why he's staying, so to speak. It's an odd one. You don't normally see it in football too often that the sort of the assistant manager stays on, but everyone else around him leaves. Normally it'd be a manager would go and the assistant would stay, maybe a couple of coaches. But yeah, I'm pro it, to be honest. I think it's someone who can perhaps go, well, we've currently got these players. This is what he does. This is how he can play, without almost the bias of the players coming in that rightly should be going to Stuart Maynard's door right now. If you're Dan Batty, you'll be going in going, I can do this job for you. These haven't done it so far. Let me come in. Just what I think like Hinchel was probably thinking with a lot of the squad on Monday, bear in mind what his interview was like. Elphick can sort of say, well, this is how he's done so far. This is how he reacted under this situation. And perhaps, as long as he almost knows his place, I don't have an issue with that. And by knowing his place, I mean it is Maynard in charge with Alves as the assistant. And, Gary is there to coach the players. And also for the players, it'll be nice to still have that familiar face. Was it Gary Elphick who came up with the idea for Ollie Pearce's goal against Yeovil where he just nicked
Yeah,
it
free
underneath
kick.
the free kick? He's a fantastic assistant manager. Otherwise, he wouldn't have got 96 points. So it is nice to have that sort of like cohesion, that link still from Hinchelwood time. How long he'll last, we don't know. But, once again, wish him all the best and hopefully it works out for him under Maynard and Alves.
Yeah, I've seen just to finish off, because I think we'll finish off with a kind of positive about Hinch, but Steve, I've seen a few people worried today about, because Adam's going, that it suddenly means that Ollie Pearce wants out or Joe Felix isn't going to play for us anymore. I mean, I just feel like footballers, managers come and go all the time, don't they? They've all played for different managers at different times. Like, you can't just down tools just because the manager that signed you suddenly has moved on.
Of course not, and I think I touched on it at the top. Fans, directors, players, managers, does not matter. Let's say, and I want to place on record my thanks and gratitude to Adam, Cam, and Gary. And I know Gary's staying for a fabulous, fabulous time at the club. But Adam's stock in football will be quite high. I don't doubt he will be back in position at some point this year, somewhere along the line. But if you're any of those players that have been signed, you don't just down tools because it's your individual performance that you would be judged upon. You can't just down tools and hope that Adam's going to go somewhere and, oh, Adam might fancy me and he might take me on to that club. Because what if he goes to a club that hasn't got any money and can't sign him? These players are contracted to York City Football Club. They're all intelligent men, even though some of them are quite young. They know a bit about football, they know a bit about life. And if they're to down tools and stop doing it, that word soon goes out around football. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind how professional they all are and how they will get on and do as instructed. So that is not a worry for me. Clearly, if someone gets an offer to go somewhere and it's a lot of money, as Matt has again said earlier in the piece, then if it benefits York City, they'll be allowed to go. But I don't see anybody saying, I'm off. I'd like to leave because the manager's that to me is just nonsense. It's sentimental nonsense that perhaps pervades around people who don't know enough about how football works. And I don't mean that in a condescending manner. Just be realistic. They're all professionals, they've all got contracts, and they all want that next contract, be it at York or elsewhere. So they don't want to be seen as a shirker who downs tools because it doesn't go their own way.
I mean, it's been great to look back on, Adam's time at York City. I mean, it was, like I say at the start, February 2024 doesn't seem that long ago, but it feels like a lot has been achieved in that time. Adam's taken us from what looked like nailed on relegation to kind of, like you say, 96 points, 95 goals, football we've not seen for a long, long time. And like I said, I think it could be a good move for both parties. It's clearly the relationship has broken down. There's no point in that carrying on. It's not every, I think all football clubs that are successful have everyone singing from the same hymn sheet. And, if you're not doing that, then you need to kind of, change things. And that doesn't mean Adam can't go on and be successful, and neither can York City. Steve, you want to make one final point?
I just want to say one last thing in case I don't get another chance. I'd just like to say thanks, Adam. I love you and your family, but I also like to say thanks, Matt. I love you and yours. They've both brought tremendous amounts to this club. Both have brought joy in equal measure. So I wish Adam and his family nothing but the best for wherever football takes them to next, because he has a wonderful family and he's a wonderful man.
Ben, anyone you love, you'd like to share it?
Just you, Dan. I think you're an absolutely fantastic podcast host. And you're the man who keeps the glue of the York Hospital ball going. So, yes, thank you to you, Dan. But yes, also to Adam Hinchelwood, who's given me some fantastic memories. Halifax away will live long in the memory of every York fan that was there. I'm sure Dave will remember Halifax away really well. But it was, yeah, genuinely that moment of Ollie Pearce's second goal going in will live for a long, long time. And that day out we had, he's given some awesome, fantastic memories. And once again, let's hope Matt's backing and knowledge and wisdom can sort of help the Maynard revolution, and that promotion pedalo can be firing down the ooze come May.
Dave, you definitely say you love me, but anyone else?
Of course, brilliant podcast host, fantastic teacher, absolutely. And the fact you're going to be teaching my son, in all seriousness, I think Adam's been brilliant. I've had some amazing times on the road this year, especially. I like the home games. The home games are great, but for me, the away games are the special ones. And some of those days out with friends, family have just been absolutely amazing. And some of the times we've had on the road have been incredible. Yes, I wasn't at Halifax away, but I was on a cruise ship. So, equally, I think it was quite nice having a beer in hand and listening to it on the wireless was absolutely fine by me. Having done Halifax away as well, there's some great pubs. But yeah, some amazing memories of Adam, some great times, some great interaction with the players under his stewardship as well. And like Ben said, looking forward to seeing where Matt's project takes us and the way that Matt and Julianne continue to turn this football club into the giant that it deserves to be, because things have been incredible the last year. And I think just one thing that I would say that Adam was involved with as well was the open training session, which was absolutely brilliant and felt like one of the most positive days that I've been involved with York over, for a very, very long time. It was absolutely brilliant. And the way the players interacted with the fans and the way that the management interacted as well was fantastic. So thank you, Adam. Thank you to you. Thank you to your family for moving up here with you as well, so we could have you for last season. And here's to Stuart Maynard and the next part of the project.
And thank you everyone for listening. Had great response to the definitely maybe promotion special thing that we did at the start. I can't remember the title of it now, but it feels that long ago. But yeah, we'll be back with a kind of I'm sure 10 games in, 12 games in. That's when we normally have a bit of a marker, and it'll be nice to get Debo back on as well. During this podcast, I've noticed that he's given me two voice notes that are totaling well over 10 minutes each. So that's going to be the rest of my night. So I'm going to sign off with that now. Listen to Debo and hopefully get him onto the next podcast. But yeah, thanks for listening. Please do sort of rate and subscribe and all that malarkey. And we'll see you next time.